This episode of We Are Libertarians is brought to you by Audible.com. Enjoy one free audiobook courtesy of We Are Libertarians. Choose from more than 100,000 audiobook titles, including works by Ron Paul, Walter Block, Murray Rothbard, and the Cato Institute. Audible.com also has audio of radio and TV programs and audio versions of magazines and newspapers. You can get the Audible app on any mobile device or download the audio to your computer. Go to audibletrial.com/WAL or head to WeAreLibertarians.com and find the link to get one free month of Audible today. Welcome to We Are Libertarians for this week. We are back. Triumphant return in studio. In studio, ladies and gentlemen, Creighton Harrington. Yes. Woo! Hey, Creighton's back. He's here for a one-week reprieve, and we'll get to him in a minute. And then next to him on the couch is Greg Lenz. Greg?
How are you, Chris?
I'm doing wonderful. I am your glorious host, Chris Spangle. And to my left is the ever-effervescent Gina Martinez.
Ooh. Hello, hello.
Back from her trip
nice.
From Boston.
I
thank
like
you.
That. Ever-effervescent. Yeah. Ever-effervescent.
I've been improving since you've been gone. This is
radio camp.
We might actually be better this week.
This no. is like the one time Probably we've not. Had the whole show in studio in several episodes. Creighton abandoned us
since at least May.
Yeah. Right. So you left for Washington, D.C. And we often get notes like, hey, Creighton has my dream job. Why don't you ask Creighton more about his dream job with YAL? And I'm like, well, he's just sitting
there. No, you don't get notes about that.
I do, actually. Yeah. And I'm like, Creighton's just making phone calls. It's not that glamorous.
Although I am making phone calls in what was previously called the South.
He is now a proud resident of Virginia, as Creighton has accepted an offer to work for Young Americans for Liberty. What is your big fancy title now?
Midwest Regional Director.
Even though you're nice. Living in Virginia.
Yes, but
typical Washington.
He's like Dick Luger.
I'm from Indiana.
You're just like Dick Luger. You live in Alexandria, and you're pretending to represent the Midwest.
To be fair, Mid-Atlantic Regional Director was my previous title, and I did that out of Indiana. So
that's true. What kind of operation are you running for? And I say that with all due respect, because they are major sponsors of this program.
No, they're not.
No.
They endorse pretty much everything we
everything
say.
Everything we say, Young Americans for Liberty loves.
What
Did
about
you
fluoride,
guys strike
Chris?
That from the record, please?
Big thumbs up. No, that's a joke, just because it makes Creighton uncomfortable. So tell us a little bit about your time in Washington, D.C. as an intern. What are some of the highlights?
The biggest thing was I was drunk a lot.
Say that into the mic next time.
There was a lot of drinking.
Right.
And I made this point because I went
we
to
IU. We are America's future.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like that a little bit. Like, these are the people that are going to lead the world in a few years.
You but can't do any worse.
It's like 20 years from now, I'm probably the president's at this party. He's hammered on scotch. But, it was kind of funny because when I went to IEPY, it was a commuter campus, so you didn't have like the whole campus life that you right. have at most schools. So when I got back out there, it was like my first year at DePaul again. It was like yeah. every weekend there was another party. It's like if there wasn't a party, hey, just come over, buy a sixer. We'll buy a dirty 30 of Natty Light.
By the way, DePaul University in Greencastle, Indiana, named one of the top party schools.
Number 13.
Number 13.
They went down a notch. They were 12 last year.
Many of the students there, 7 years after Creighton left, still studying of all the things that you taught them when you were
hey,
at DePaul.
I'm not going to say that I didn't get any schoolwork done at DePaul, but
I did end up at IUPUI.
But, it was a lot. It's a lot of fun, and, it's just been kind of everything that I had been wanting to do since, I first got involved, and, you know, I'm essentially, you know, I am a political operative, quote,
mm-hmm.
You know, I guess that wouldn't necessarily be my title because I work for right. a specific nonprofit who advances their company on, you know.
So what you're saying is the IRS was right.
I'm saying nothing. We do not endorse candidates. We do not endorse
right,
parties.
Right.
We do not take stands on
you endorse parties,
pieces of
not political parties.
No, we do not. Yeah, well, we do not yeah. take stands on specific issues. So, for all intents and purposes, we don't take sides.
So, I'm thinking of the Pizza Hut box. If you know what I'm talking about, Ron Paul. in his car. Things like that. Oh, that just those kind of little highlights.
Those are little quirks, yeah. So Ron Paul gave his card. I mean, Jeff Frazee, who runs Young America's Liberty, is good friends with Ron Paul. So Ron, after he retired, gave his car to Jeff. And the plan, I think, is to auction it off, you know, for, I don't know if it's for charity, if it's going to be for the organization or what. But we had to go take it to a park and take pictures of it. And we're driving over, and, you know, first off, I was really giddy because I'm like, I'm in Ron Paul's car. I'm driving in Ron Paul's car right now.
Right.
But we get there, and, you know, we're like, let's throw on the radio. And there's a tape stuck in the radio. And for you How I Met Your Mother fans, I wanted so bad for that to be I'm going to go 500 miles. I wanted it so bad to be that, but it didn't work at all.
Instead, it was Paul Anka.
it didn't work. So we put on the radio.
Barry Manilow.
And if you want to get into the mind of Ron Paul, these are his presets. Classical and NPR.
Right.
That's all he listens to, because the others were not set at all. But, yeah, there was a Pizza Hut, like, coupons up in the visor, and I said, we're never eating Domino's again.
And the kicker is what kind of car it was.
It was, what did I say? It was like a Buick.
It was like a Buick
LeSabre.
LeSabre, 1989.
1990. I think it was a 97, and the plates... The last time the plate sticker was updated, not the plate sticker, but like the sticker on the registration was updated, was 97.
Nice.
Because they don't have to update that as congressman.
Right.
So it was like we probably could have gotten pulled over and like fined for driving that over to the park.
It was a total, and we'll find a picture of that type of car and post it, but total old man car.
Yeah, it was definitely an old man car.
Old man car.
But he also he gave his printers to us. And they've been trying to get rid of those, and I have to say those printers have been the bane of my existence. It's like we have this whole room in the Yale intern house that we can't use because there's just printers everywhere. And I've been like, they're like, they've got them on Craigslist and stuff, and I'm just like, why don't you just stick them on Ron Paul forums and say, one of these printers printed audit the Fed. And I guarantee you they'll be gone in 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Like they will. Fanboys.
Yeah, no.
Or just get them to sign them.
But
if you want one of those printers, Harrington@wearelibertarians.com, and he can maybe find you one.
What else? His bed in the master bedroom of the Yale House, that is Ron Paul's bed.
Oh, that's where the magic happened?
That's where Creighton wore the blue dress.
That's the funny thing.
It's happening.
that's the funny thing is one of the interns never wanted to stay in that room because she was like, I don't want to sleep in Ron Paul's bed. That's weird. So it's just like little bitty things like that have just been like, you know, esoteric,
like,
you know,
he's
Ron Paul fanboy things.
He's a deity.
It's like, we do not need to sleep in this. We must bow before it.
This
place
flame,
candles around the room.
This flame must be lit at all times.
Wash your feet before entering the bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's been a fun experience. What sort of famous politicians that have you been able to hug and...
Well, I mean,
Creighton does not shake hands. Creighton hugs.
I've met the bulk of them. I haven't like sat down and talked with them. Like, hey, man, let's talk for 20 minutes. You know,
right.
But you know, Rand, Mike Lee, Ron, Justin Amash, Thomas Massie. Actually, we went out to a bar after the national convention, and Thomas Massie, who I got to say is quickly becoming the best person in Washington right now.
Better than Amash?
Yeah.
Really?
He is not only, I mean, he's just as good on the issues, but he just strikes me as like so much more like cool.
What,
you know?
What district does he represent?
He's in Kentucky. I don't know exactly which district, but his license plate is the letter N, the letter D, and Fed. So
wow, okay.
That's his actual, like, his car. He doesn't have like a congressional plate. It's his actual license plate.
What are some of the other good congressmen out there that we ought to keep an eye on?
Mick Mulvaney actually struck me as a guy who's pretty cool. He's from South Carolina. And I didn't realize this, but the entire South Carolina delegation in the House voted for Justin Amash's amendment, including the guy that was the like majority whip or whatever when Nancy was in charge.
Hmm.
I don't remember his name. He's a black guy.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, what is his name?
Captain Virginia over there.
Yeah.
What? Okay, he was an African-American.
He used whip and African-American in the same sentence?
Oh,
racist.
Man. The system's racist.
What am I doing with my life?
No, but he's good. Raul Labrador's good, and the thing is...
He is. He's a good boy.
They're not necessarily like 100%. Like, they're not like Thomas Massie and Justin Amash level.
Right.
But they're pretty good. But we're at the national convention, you know, all four of them, Mulvaney, Mosh, Massey, and Labrador had a roundtable discussion. And I tell you what, man, Massey knew his audience. Like, he would just randomly, they'd be like, Michelle Fields would say, so what do you think about, you know, what should be the solution to the fact that our dollar has lost all this value, blah, blah, blah. And Massey just was like, in the Fed. And everybody cheers, yeah, and stuff. And then they're like, and then Mick Mulvaney goes, what are you going to replace it with? He's like, Bitcoin. God. It was so funny. But we went out to the bar after that, and Amash and Massey came to the bar, and I went over there and I was talking with Massey, and I think he might have been slightly inebriated, but he's just such a cool guy. He was like down to earth. He's also like a really big science nerd. Like, he was an engineer before
he is
got
a libertarian.
Elected.
Yes.
He was an engineer before he got elected, and I guess his house is like all self-sustaining. His electricity is all like solar powered and stuff.
Wow.
And he's like, yeah, he lives off the grid as much as you can as a congressman. But he, awesome. I was talking to him. I was like, so what do you think about Todd Rokita? He's like, from Indiana? I was like, yeah. He's like, hey, he's all right. He's all right. And I was like, what do you think about Marlon Stutzman? He's like, oh, yeah. He needs to get hammered for not voting for the Amash Amendment. And
yes.
I shook a little bit. It was so cool.
He's exactly right. I mean, Rokita, you know, Rokita's actually been pretty decent on the NSA stuff.
Rokita surprised me on some of, like, just since he's gotten elected in general.
Mm-hmm.
But Stutzman, and I was explaining it to him, I was like, Stutzman was one of the Tea Party candidates for Senate race, him and Hostetler, and they split the Tea Party vote, and that's why Coates got elected.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes up and gets elected to the House, and then just basically does everything the opposite of what the Tea Party stood for.
He probably wants Coates' seat.
They all do.
Yeah.
Here in Indiana, Todd Young, Rokita, I don't know, Marlon Stutzman, Walorski even, they're all trying to...
Walorski's got no
Messer,
shot.
Messer, they're all... Susan Brooks.
Yeah.
Susan Brooks actually is aiming a little higher than Senate. So I'll fill you in later.
You're kidding me.
Yeah. So it's...
That chance.
It's just... Yeah. here in Indiana, we've got... You know, there have been... This year, there's been, what, 20 GOP weekly addresses?
Mm-hmm.
And all of them but one of our Republican delegation have given the weekly address. I mean, so Indiana has a lot of young congressmen who want to make their mark and move up.
One thing I do think, though, this is slightly related, I think. one of the points, you know, we talk about, like, RAND 2016 a lot out there. And, you know, everybody always brings up, you know, who do you think is going to be his biggest... you know, opposition for the Republican seat, like who's going to be, you know, the biggest roadblock for him. And everybody brings up like, Jeb Bush. And I don't think Jeb Bush is going to be, I think he's got a lot of money. He'll have a lot of money behind him, but I don't think it's going to make a difference.
Clearly the largest obstacle is Chris Christie.
Marco Rubio. No, I don't think it's Chris Christie. I think he's going to fizzle out and he's not going to be, I think he's going to be one that's pushed, but I don't think he's going to end up being anything. And I was talking with some people out there and I guess, you know, My instincts were correct, and a lot of people out there think that Mike Pence is the dark horse that's going to be the guy who Rand Paul has trouble beating.
Here in Indiana, the reason he wanted to push a 10% tax cut through, and he ended up getting 5% income tax, which, hey, Gina, good luck with that extra $30 a year, which I'm not...
Don't spend it all
in one
at
place.
Your medical marijuana facility.
which in Indiana doesn't exist.
No, damn because it. Mike Pence strengthened marijuana laws, made it tougher.
Which, you know, was totally necessary.
Right, because we have such an outrageous problem with marijuana.
Hey, them kids out there, they're smoking that weed and like...
Getting that reefer madness.
They're all running over people. And
yep. So... a staffer of Mike Pence told a local radio show host that within 18 months of him getting elected governor, he'd put polls in the field in Iowa. So I don't know how many months away we are.
Did we honestly think
like
that he
wasn't? Mid 2014, you'll start hearing rumors that Mike Pence is probably running for governor. The other one that you mentioned.
For president.
For president, yeah. Sorry, for president. The other one that was mentioned was Rick Perry, which you think, you, Greg, surprised me because you think he's the guy to beat in 2016.
I do. If that's the guy the establishment's going to get behind.
Yeah.
Rick Perry. He's the one the establishment's going to get behind.
Right.
I don't know.
Give him the reaction that I gave him at dinner that night.
I'm not sure I can say it on air.
No, like, Really?
Yeah. I think it's going to be him, and I think Biden's going to beat Hillary for the Democratic nomination. I'll stick by that.
He thinks Biden...
I could see Biden making a surprise. I could see that.
Biden kills everyone but Rand, because he's going to get all the white trash Republicans.
I've been looking at polls coming out of Ohio, and the only person, or the person who consistently wins the 18 to 24, I think, bracket, and beats all of them, including Republicans versus Republicans or Democrat Republicans versus, it's Rand.
Yeah.
Rand beats him in 18 to 24, all of them.
Because he stands for principles, not for just random politics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you made a case of Biden versus Hillary, and I'm just like, really? But Uncle Joe's Teflon.
He guy committed plagiarism in 88 when he ran, you know, wanted to run. I mean, he is, but he's likable. And he is not partisan. He's kind of like Frank Underwood and but he's not as wily and as smart, but he comes off as just, you're likable, but not really kooky uncle.
Right.
You know, he just makes gaffes, but they're not huge deals unless
they're
you don't
funny.
Have legs.
Stand up, Chuck. Stand up. Oh, God bless, Chuck. I'm sorry. Everybody, stand up for Chuck.
He won't get the handicap vote, that's for sure.
The Villages. America's favorite hometown.
I don't even know what's going
on.
Yeah,
you have to go look up The Villages and Joe Biden drunk.
Yep.
And he is dancing and singing The Villages.
Isn't he always drunk?
Yep.
Yeah, probably.
That's why he's so likable.
Right.
He's just a likable guy.
Yeah. Tell me you don't want to drink with Joe Biden.
Oh, my God. We went to an Atlas summit. Like, every, you know, the Atlas summit, I'm sure I told you, like, what's her
face. We know, but tell the listener what an Atlas
summit is. So
Atlas summit
is the Atlas Institute. Uh-huh. Not to be confused with the Ayn Rand Institute, if you want to get your face punched in, if you say that. But the Atlas Institute is just another, like, Ayn Rand-style, organization, promotes objectivism, all that jazz. They have their summit every year. And we went there and we tabled as Yale there at their summit. And, you know, we're sitting there, me and one of the other interns at the Stossel. That night, Stossel moderated a panel on, like, four, I think, like, businessmen / politicians. John Stossel, I swear to God, was hammered. I'm not even kidding. He was...
Did his mustache smell like whiskey?
He was noticeably drunk. Like, he gets up there, but he did a good job.
Listen, every time I'm in a room full of libertarians, I need to be wasted.
He's a guy who, like, his drinking problem isn't really a problem because he was very functional. Like,
right.
He did a very good job. But
he has a drinking solution.
Yeah. But you could just tell. You could just tell by his mannerisms and he was drunk.
You know what's wrong with this country? Your face.
It's stupid.
Your stupid face is wrong. You need a mustache. So
him and Todd Selleck are the only two people that like each other in the world.
Right. So what is next for Creighton Harrington Montgomery III?
You know, it's funny. Everyone thinks that my name sounds regal out there.
Right.
It is regal.
Creighton Harrington.
Except look at you. You're sitting here drinking PBR.
Bass Pro Shop. Trucker's hat.
He looks like a Southern frat boy that went to, like, Furman or Elon, like a Southern finishing school.
Before we start the podcast, Greg gets up and he's like, hold on, don't start yet. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm getting the other six pack.
Yep.
There's four cold beers right there in front of you.
There's three now.
Well, there's going to be an emergency halfway through the podcast, I'm sure of it.
They're definitely 12 deep in case of PDR.
Everybody
PDR
knows.
Right now.
Everybody knows that the level of quality of this program increases directly proportional to the amount of alcohol we've consumed.
It's true.
It's just like story time with Gina. When we're popped, it is awesome.
It's true.
I don't know about you, Gina, but I am frankly amazed at the amount of alcohol that Greg can drink.
I'm impressed, but not amazed.
And I'm disappointed at how little they can drink out there. I mean, I'm not even kidding, man. And, like, I unseated the champ for shotgun speed. Like,
that's how you got your job.
Yeah.
There was a shotgun contest.
Creighton Harrington.
That guy knows how to practice.
Hired.
Creighton Harrington, Fring Merca, one beer at a time.
See, I'm making it sound like I went out there and did nothing but party. Right.
Like, drove around, Ray like, Paul's.
To be fair, it is an 8-hour job, 5 days a week, so I did actually go to work every day.
Right.
That happened.
Went out there, drove around.
That stuff happened. But more importantly, I'm the best drinker in the old neighborhood.
Ever.
Being the best drinker in Washington, though, isn't even good. Ted Kennedy's dead.
Yeah,
you know?
We're not talking about any topics this week.
Yes, let's get focused.
The next, you were asking me a question, and
yep.
I will respond
to
your question. So I'm getting hired on full-time. I'm moving out there this Sunday. I came back to get all my stuff, and I will be the Midwest Regional Director. And our job is to get 500 chapters in our network by the end of the semester.
Wow.
So by Christmas, we have to go up 25% in numbers. So
it'll happen.
It. So if I were out there and I were a young college student and I went to campus and there was no Young Americans for Liberty chapter, how might I start one, Creighton Harrington?
The best way to do it would be to go to yaliberty.org and sign up as a dues-paying member, which are only $10 a year. And you immediately get a free T-shirt, which costs $25 to make. So it's not like we're actually asking you for money to make money off of you. So it's only $10 a year. You become a dues-paying member, and you start the chapter application for your school, and boom, you have started a chapter.
But, Creighton, I mean, aren't you just like every other top-down organization wanting $10 a year?
I just mentioned how it's actually a net negative.
That's right.
For our bottom line. But
and there's tax reasons they have to charge it.
Yes, there is like the whole tax status, and everybody knows the IRS will look for any reason they can to get on your case.
So $10 people, and you don't even have to be a student to join YAL, correct?
No, you do not.
Greg?
The age range between for people to be dues paying members is 15 to 39. After that, you can donate money and become a, you know, not necessarily a member, but you know, preferable donee, I guess.
Groupie.
Yeah.
A groupie, yes.
That creepy old guy that hangs around with the young people.
But, like, look at me, I'm the eagle.
But, yeah, starting a chapter is very easy.
I don't know. And
if you have any questions as to how or why or anything at all, do not hesitate to give contact@yaliberty.org an email, and we will all get to see it, and we will all jump on you and answer your questions and probably blow your phone up until the battery dies.
All right, so let's get to it's 20 minutes of good times. Amazingly, Gina is the one that said we should get on topic.
Sorry.
And she hasn't even cursed yet.
I dropped one S word.
And an F.
Did you drop an F bomb?
Yeah, you didn't even realize it.
No,
she did. Minute marker 16.
So dirty.
At minute marker 16, Gina said, "Fuck."
Spangle said it.
Wow. So at minute marker 16, Gina said beep, and you're going to have to beep
yes.
You saying that she said beep.
Yes. So
we're not players. We just beep a lot.
I'm not sure about Gina.
Our goal is to have this show be nothing but Morse code.
Then you have hired the right girl.
Yeah.
if we beeped story time with Gina.
Oh, good God.
At wal-radio.com, story time with Gina would be nothing but Morse code. So, all right. So I know I didn't do any homework. I've been swamped this week. Gina, I don't know about you.
Probably not much.
I was in a swamp.
Yeah. Creighton, I know, never does any show prep.
Right.
I was in a swamp. I was
born on the bayou, boy.
No, I literally was in a swamp.
In your old Kentucky home?
No, Washington, D.C. was built on a swamp. That's history right there for you.
So we look at you, Greg Lenz, the savior of We Are Libertarians for episode 50, whatever this is.
Well, then I am a false savior, but some interesting things did happen in the news this week that I think warrant discussion.
So set it up for us. What happened the past week while we've been off with the supposed terror threat?
Well, the NSA supposedly intercepted a conference call amongst Al-Qaeda operatives that really scared the heck out of them. Especially given there's been prison breaks in Pakistan, Iraq, and Libya or Syria.
Didn't they all escape from Abu Ghraib?
Yep. And there was a big conference call that they supposedly intercepted, and they are making plans, and they've switched strategies. And it scared the NSA, but it was convenient because not only did this come out, but the president went on Jay Leno and lied. And on top of that, he said he tried to be Mr. Political and say, well, now Edward Snowden, we're not sure. There hasn't been a trial. And, like, seem like he's the good guy, even though he's abandoned all his principles.
Yeah, he just basically every action he has taken in response to Snowden has been the exact opposite of everything he said he'd do
right. When
he was running for office.
Oh yeah,
okay. Did you hear that they took down his like campaign website or whatever?
Oh yeah, with all his principles,
with all his like promises and stuff, they took it down. Because the page straight up said whistleblowers need to be protected and we need to give blah, 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 blah. They took it down.
Well, because it became inconvenient at that point.
Sort of like when Mike Pence took down his, which we have saved in the We Are Libertarians archives, his bio where he said he helped create the Patriot Act and helped shepherd in all of the NSA, all of the FISA courts. He was a lead author on all these.
And you know,
and the Homeland Security Department.
To make sure
we're not bragging about that now.
To make sure we get all of our tangents in. The guy in the one of the guys who supported the Amash Amendment, or the Amash Conyers Amendment, to be fair. He was the original author of the Patriot Act. The original author of the Patriot Act is with Amash on this.
Yeah, yep. Sensenbrenner, right?
Yep. I think so.
Yeah. That's his name.
Okay, so we
have... Oh, I actually have a story about that.
Creighton's back.
Yeah, I actually have a...
I'm about to get started on the topic. Oh, no, one more thing.
I have a good story about that. So we're sitting there at the convention, and all the congressmen are, you know, talking about all their stuff. And they were talking about the Amash Amendment. And Mick Mulvaney said... And this is something I think that's just truly amazing. So he said, you know, Amash put up this, you know, got all these people together and laid out all these programs. You know, I think Mick Mulvaney was the guy who read the Fourth Amendment from South Carolina. But he said something happened during the debates for that never happens anymore in Washington. He said they were, you know, they were up there. They were debating.
Sobriety.
They were debating the amendment. And there were actually members of Congress sitting down on the floor at the front, watching Amash and all of his people debate the other people and letting it influence their decision.
Wow. Yeah, that's very, very rare. I mean, that almost never happens anymore.
Yeah.
So.
No, everything's orchestrated by the party.
He said
leaders.
The only reason they even got a vote was because Amash was able to sneak in and just talk with
Boehner.
Boehner.
Yeah, Boehner allowed it.
Yeah,
Boehner
allowed
it,
and I guess they said you can say what you want about Boehner, whether or not you agree with what he stands for, but he's a man of his word, because he gave Amash his word that he'd do it, and they did it.
Well done.
All right, so there's just so much, like, it's like one big thing, okay? You've got
they're all interrelated.
You've got the NSA, you've got Benghazi, you've got the terror threat, you've got the Amash Amendment. I mean, everything kind of is interwoven into this big pot. So I guess the place to start is the terror threat. And so they've intercepted this, and we're not a conspiracy show.
Mm-mm.
Not at all. And I personally...
As much drama in the past.
Yes. I personally believe that what they did was right, and it saved lives. You know, should we debate the merits of whether or not this happened, or, you know... Do you believe at this point, when your government tells you we've shut down a terror attack, do you believe it? I mean, it's
with this, trust
has been so eroded.
Yeah,
I mean, when you hear these
sorts of things. Not even for a second.
Okay, why? Because you're the most anti-conspiracy guy on the show.
No, for this administration, I have absolutely no belief that I don't believe anything that comes out of this administration's mouth without seeing absolute proof. And they're not going to give it to us because, you know, it's the NSA. That's all classified.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's one.
So
it's
you
one...
don't believe that they picked up chatter, and that when Peter King comes out and says it's the most concrete, largest scale operation to blow up American embassies, you don't believe that information?
I don't believe. I do not give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't say. Usually if somebody's going to say something and they're like, okay, you know, I have no evidence to the contrary. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But with the actions of this administration, from, you know, the beginning of all these scandals coming out, and the actions like people like Peter King and all these people, and just in general, you know, there's no reason. There is no logical reason for me to assume that they aren't lying to me, because they have been lying. They're on record lying about so many things in the past few months. Why should this one be any different? I'm not one to come out here and say that convenience is nothing more, or convenience isn't just coincidence. But I mean, honestly, it comes out, you know, and there's a big news story coming out from Jake Tapper that is, you know, the bane of everything who has ever said that Benghazi was not a news story. It's like the
right.
It is the
we'll get to Benghazi. So let me cut you off there. We'll go around and I'll ask Gina next. Why lie? What would be their motivation of lying?
Because the NSA needs to be saved.
Okay.
The NSA program, they have lost the public's faith. You know, for throughout the post 9/11 America, and people may not have liked that, you know, people that their privacy was sacrificed to an extent, but they were okay with it because it was to stop terrorism. We have seen now, with, you know, unanimous public support in opposition to the NSA program, that the NSA wiretapping program, that they have lost the public's trust. They have lost faith. They've lost face. You know, the NSA doesn't, it's not this, you know, entity protecting us anymore. It is an organization that is literally working at odds with the American people. I mean, even their defense of how this program works is that, I mean, their defense of it implies that the American people are the enemy.
Right.
It's like they literally imply that the American people in aggregate are the enemy that they have to look in upon. And, you know, Mulvaney made a point at the convention. He said the question always comes up, if you don't have, like Lindsey Graham said, if you don't have anything to hide, then what are you worried about? So that's not the appropriate answer. The thing is, if you don't have anything to hide, it's none of your business.
Right.
And, you know, I think with them losing so much face, with the Amash Amendment, you know, with so much the president's numbers have tanked. I mean, even look at how he responded to Trayvon Martin. He didn't say it was, you know, this is, we need to respect the court's decision and stuff. He first made the point, and he played to his base and played the race card a lot. I mean, their backs are against the wall. They know it, and they have to do something to make people realize that this NSA program is as important as they're out there saying. So all of that is evidence to the point that they're lying. Now, I don't have any smoking gun proof that they're lying, you know.
It's just that your faith in your government is so far eroded that when they go on the Sunday talking heads and say that this is that big of a threat, you just don't believe it anymore.
No, I don't believe it at all. There's no reason for me to believe it. You know, they can try and scare me all they want, but honestly, you know, it's like the boy who cried wolf, you know.
Right.
Why should I? What reason do I have to believe them? Because they could be right, and they could have blown up all these embassies. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. I don't... You know, that's not enough impetus for me to, you know, to take action in their favor.
All right. So from our least willing to entertain conspiracies to our most willing to entertain conspiracies.
Guilty.
When the government comes out and gives these red alerts,
yes,
and they say all these things, do you believe them? And if you don't believe them, what would be their reason for lying?
In this particular one, I absolutely did not. I didn't buy into it. I don't think very many people did. I mean, if you think back about 10 years ago when we would get to terror alert orange, people would be flipping the f*** out. It would just happen. And now we're to a point where I don't even know, what did the terror alert get to?
I think they abandoned the color-coded system.
Did they?
I don't know if they did or not, but I didn't hear whatever it was. But
see,
it was,
I think it was at least
aware.
Orange.
It was significant enough for them to pull out Americans from multiple embassies.
Right. And we're not even aware of what the terror alert color was, and we're pretty well-informed individuals. So that's how much the average American, you know, gave two craps about it.
Look at that.
Self-censorship. Nice
yeah,
job, James.
Craps.
Wow.
You're welcome. But
it's so wonderful to see a child grow up.
Greg Lynn.
Damn it.
But it's interesting to me that it was a threat abroad. It was a threat to embassies. It was it would have been information gathered from outside of the United States. So these weren't domestic phone calls being picked up. Domestic communications being intercepted. These were international communications, we can assume. Yet it's still the grounds that you know they're going to stand on for domestic wiretaps and the type of surveillance they've
didn't
been doing
somebody
lately.
Even like on the one of the talking heads make a point, or maybe it was a politician they were interviewing, made the point that this is another reason why we need to keep the NSA program.
Oh, of course, yeah. I think it was Saxby Chambliss.
Yeah, it was. It was.
So Foghorn Leghorn himself.
Yeah,
right.
Now
listen here.
Do you see that now, do you, boy?
All right. So if you don't believe them, why would they lie to us?
To try to justify the spying that was exposed, and you know, like Creighton was saying, just the setup of the NSA makes the American citizen the opponent, essentially, or what was the word that you used?
The enemy.
The enemy. And the way that they're treating the individual that made us aware of it and expose the information.
Listen to what they're trying to charge. Edward Snowden leaked information to a United, or no, to The Guardian was the UK, right?
Right.
So he leaked, but he leaked it to the Washington Post or Washington Times too?
Right.
The Post, the Post, and the Guardian.
Yeah. So one of those is an American news outlet, you know. He leaks this information to an American news outlet, and they release it to the American people, and they're saying we could possibly charge him with aiding the enemy.
Right.
When you say American in that Bass Pro Shops hat. I hear it with a U.
American.
I do too.
No, just take the A off. American.
All right, so Mr. Greg Lins, and I don't want to interrupt. Are you?
No, it's okay. Fine. Yeah.
Okay.
I've weighed in.
Greg, how much of that do you agree or disagree with? And Mittens, please do not turn off the webcam. Thank you.
Well, my favorite thing about this is that there's this huge terror alert. Oh, Mittens is all over the webcam.
No kidding, it's my webcam.
If you go to the webcam at roughly 35 minutes, you will see what I'm using to swat at my cat.
Back scratcher.
I have a telescoping back scratcher, and I not only use this to scratch my back, but also to discipline my cat's wife. So, all right, Greg. So, when they go through this rigmarole, I mean, how much do you agree or disagree with Creighton and Gina?
I have no trust in this government whatsoever, especially right now when it comes to civil liberties. I don't think they care at all. I think they see us as dumb, unengaged, which, quite frankly, given the lack of backlash there's been outside of a few principal congressmen, it's hard to argue with it at all. Mm-hmm. But I do think, I loved it. They say, there's this huge terror alert. What's their instinct? Oh, we'll pull people out of there. Maybe if they're not over there, they can't attack us. Yeah. Well, that essentially proves every libertarian friggin' point ever. Right.
Isn't that called non-interventionism?
Yeah. No, but you know what? I'm going to disagree. I think that they totally realize how engaged people are over this. And I think they're surprised by it. I think that the lack of a principled Congress, the very few principled congressmen who are standing up to it, it's one thing. But to be fair, you know, it was a very down the middle vote on who on Amash's amendment. I mean, it was like 205 to 213 or something. It was very close. They actually said that after that weekend, those congressmen came back from their home districts and they said, "Dude, I should have voted the other way."
Because they
just got destroyed by their constituents. So I think as far as like normal people are concerned, I think that they are very engaged on this issue, and I think it's something that the Obama administration totally underestimated.
I think that this is, you know, in 2006. So that, you know, in 2006, when people started to go through the immigration debate with the Bush administration, and that's when they came out with their, you know, immigration plan, which was, you know,
amnesty.
It was not, you know, build a fence out of Mexicans.
It was amnesty.
So, which is what
it was amnesty.
This isn't the 300.
Right. So that's when a lot of right conservatives, far right conservatives and middle right conservatives started to lose all faith and trust in the Bush administration. Combine that with how badly the war was going at that point. And I think we're at that point with the Obama administration.
Did you see the Huffington Post a few weeks ago when the Edward Snowden stuff first came out?
Right.
It said George W. Obama.
Right. And I think we're at that point with liberal Democrats where their faith in Obama. Now, Gina is obviously a self-identifying libertarian, but you've been favorable to Obama.
Yes.
I mean,
in the past.
In the past. Talk about at this point in Obama's presidency, where are you at with regards to Barack Obama?
Yeah, I'm disenchanted. I mean, he's done a lot of things that I can say are admirable and that I can applaud, but this is not one.
This is an important. No, this is an important point to make. What exactly, specifically, has he done? Entirely, not just like on this issue, but just in general.
Right. There are some social issues that he and I agree on that he's actually managed to make at least some progress on. Although I will say that not as much as he had promised in his campaign.
See, I think that one of the reasons I think that Obama, you know, is his back's against the wall here is that he's working on his legacy.
Right.
And I think that he honestly, the biggest thing he's done is Obamacare. And even that isn't really taking him as far as he had hoped.
But I would say that Obamacare is going to be the millstone around his neck. But I would say what you're talking about, which is probably more LGBT rights, right, Don't ask, don't tell.
Lilly Ledbetter.
Yeah. Right. I think those things will be like, you know, good points for him. But honestly, I think that, you know, his complete him completely reneging against everything he promised when he was candidate, the civil liberty stuff, I honestly think that if something doesn't change, if immigration doesn't pass, then his legacy is in danger, and he will just be remembered as he'll be remembered as the first black president, which is, I think, something that's honorable that he should be remembered about. But his legacy won't be based entirely upon what he did, but just for like that milestone. He'll be remembered as the scandal president. He'll be remembered as, you know, the NSA guy. Like Watergate
he'll be
all that Nixon's remembered
he'll
for.
He'll be remembered like every other president, right?
I think, in the second term. I think it's too early to say that that's what's going to happen, but I think there is a strong chance that if he doesn't get anything done and he doesn't turn public favor into him in the near future, his second term will be nothing but defending himself,
yeah.
And that's his legacy.
But that Reagan with Iran-Contra, Clinton with his own willy.
Look at Bush's legacy right now. Bush's legacy is not the good things he did; it's the bad things he did.
Right,
and Bush was an idiot.
I think this is all wrong. This is all wrong in my
opinion. Let me go back to. Hold on, we'll come back to you, Greg, because I want to give Gina the opportunity
once. Yeah. Shame on both of us.
So, I mean,
that was a strategic comment.
Talk more about your disenchantment with Barack Obama, because this audience loves to hear it.
Oh well, I mean, obviously, someone who stands up and. While campaigning, says that he's going to repeal the Patriot Act and take
and
all
and re-signs it by auto pin.
Right.
It's that
go ahead
important.
And handle that. And the wiretapping that we're finding out was happening in broad scale and
Gitmo.
Yeah, Gitmo's huge.
Right. Day one.
What?
Day one.
Day
I'm gonna
one.
Shut down Gitmo.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It's
right.
Not day
and
one
and
anymore.
Now he doesn't right. even want to mention that there's hunger strikes going on.
And do you remember how soon we were supposed to be pulled out of Iraq? I mean, all of the promises that he made have
We're still
been...
in Afghanistan, don't forget.
Exactly. So that's why I'm disenchanted. I'm disenchanted because he hasn't followed through. The Obamacare thing doesn't piss me off nearly as much because, frankly, the Obamacare thing is as much on Congress as it is on
sure.
Barack Obama because they the groups collectively have f***ed that f***ery upon us.
Did you? But right. did you? But I mean, mention the article that you posted in the chat not too long ago. I mean, they just created a ad hoc exemption. Obama did illegally,
right?
To the Congress people having to. Be part of the Obamacare program because right. if they were, then they might get then Ted Cruz and people that are trying to defund it might get enough support
right.
to actually be able to defund it
because they're afraid of a brain drain and the Cadillac insurance that Congress and their staff gets is going to skyrocket. And so, what they were told by the administration and the you know the bean counters at the federal government. You're going to the exchanges like everybody else. If you can't afford your health care, you're going to the exchanges. That's the way we've designed it. And that's not as good as the health care that they get now. And so they need an exemption.
And everything that Obama has done since that has been passed has been to prolong it or push it back for political reasons. I mean,
right.
honestly, does anyone think that the mandate doesn't take effect until 2014 because... What? Because these elections in 2014
right.
might not have any influence at all.
Right.
But, it's
going to
be the shedding of jobs. But so if you want to learn more about that, the Obamacare exemption. So, Gina, do you and we've kind of covered this in the past. Do you feel that Barack Obama lied to you or do you feel that the job just he even an ideologue can't make the changes that he wanted to change?
At this point, I'm kind of torn on that. You know, I don't believe that Barack Obama, the candidate, lied. I do believe he had the good intentions. I really do. Do I believe that Barack Obama, the president, was prepared for the task that he had to surmount? And I don't necessarily want to blame it all on a lack of preparation, but I do think some of the promises that he made, he might have had bigger eyes than he had arms and capabilities. Mm-hmm. At this point, though, yeah, he lied on the Patriot Act thing. Unless some information comes out that makes it real clear to us why he decided to leave the Patriot Act intact, failed on that one. He failed to provide one of his campaign promises, one of his core campaign promises. Gitmo.
Yep.
Just whisper that intermittently. Gitmo.
Yeah. Gitmo.
It would be like if Ron Paul were elected president and was like, let's double the Fed.
Yeah.
I mean, this is
no, that's, and right. that's just it. It's not like he's just like, oh, I haven't been able to do anything on this. It's, oh, yeah, that stuff I said I'm going to do the opposite and then like tenfold that.
Right.
You know, I'm going to politely disagree. I think that he lied. And I don't mean that in the sense like, oh, what I mean is I think that he was an opportunist from the beginning. I think his political career was moving so fast that he just was going to say whatever he could to be president. And I think he knew his base. He knew where the winds were at with the anti-Bush hysteria that he got elected upon. And I think he just said what the base wanted to hear.
Right.
I don't believe for a second he believed it because, I mean, you can't judge his record because he had no record.
Well, there's also a huge difference between governing and campaigning. I mean, what the realities that you face when you're campaigning, you face no opponent. When you're campaigning, you can say whatever you want. When you're governing, you have a very real opponent that does not agree with you on basic fundamental principles anymore. I mean, there's no middle ground at all. I mean, Rand Paul and Barack Obama couldn't be farther apart. In hell, Rand Paul and John McCain and Lindsey Graham couldn't be further apart at this point.
And you know what? Nancy Mace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get back to the embassies. Let me give my opinion. I don't know that... I think that they probably found it out through informants and through inside information first. And that's where how they knew where to look in these wiretaps and in the metadata. And you easily could get a judge to sign off on that in the system that we have set up outside of the NSA, outside of the FISA courts. And Rand Paul made that point several times in several media outlets that everything that led to us discovering this legitimate threat, we could have done legally. We don't need the NSA spying program. We don't need, you know, X key code and going into
X keystroke.
X keystroke and going into people's metadata. You know, in the metadata, I would really like to know if Congress people actually know what metadata is. I mean, it's basically a lot of data.
Did you see Bachman when she was debating on the floor before the amendment? There's more information in the phone book.
She's an idiot.
Yeah.
How did she graduate law school?
She is the reason. Okay, I spend 40% of my life explaining modern technology like Facebook to people over the age of 50. That is what I spend most of my time doing. Imagine your grandparents. This is the oldest Congress on record. This Congress probably doesn't understand email and Facebook, let alone what the hell metadata is.
Yeah, it's like my mom.
Right.
Anytime an email comes through that has like garbled up like almost like it's encrypted code at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, this had the virus.
Right.
It's like
she doesn't understand.
Your mom has a lisp.
Okay, that was my trying to be a girl.
So when you explain technology, these old men that I train on technology, apologize if you're listening. They listen to me because I am an authority. So when General Alexander explains that it's just metadata, don't worry about it, they go, okay, well, metadata has time, place, persons.
But it's not just metadata. It records search history and browser history.
It's everything but your name.
Yeah.
I think people just underestimate you. How much stuff... you could read my text messages and you don't even know who I am.
In the metadata,
5 seconds on Facebook, you know exactly who I was just based upon what I talk about in my text messages.
In the metadata contains your email address. My email address is chrisspangle@gmail.com.
Yeah, my email address is creighton.harrington@gmail.com.
Right. So they have your name. They understand who you are. And, you know, they say that they're not spying. They certainly are spying on the majority of Americans. Once you go three hops, you know, if you go three hops in this room... Gina, how many Facebook friends do you have?
A bunch. I don't know.
Let's say 1,100.
Okay.
That's what you've got. I've got...
Isn't it like 2,000 is the limit, right?
Right. So there's four people in this room. Gina is a known terrorist.
Ouch.
Okay, and so they're looking into Gina. Well, Maya's not here. So they're
so
looking
let's
into...
say the words hypothetically.
Hypothetically, yeah. Non-allegedly. A
allegedly a hypothetical non-terrorist.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And so Gina talks to me. Well... then they come and they look at my Facebook friends, which, by the way, fellas, I have 5,000. And so
fancy.
Then you two are Facebook friends. So then they go two hops to Greg.
35 friends just went up this week.
35 friends. Congratulations. And so Creighton is one of his friends. How many friends do you have on Facebook?
I have no idea.
Okay. So it branches out to almost basically every person in the United States. So, you know, back to the original point. This is one meandering show. I apologize, listeners. But I think they told the truth. I think that they are saying that this is why this program is necessary, but they can't explain why. They're just presuming that this is necessary. When in reality, I bet if you look at the evidence, it was an eyewitness, and they could have gotten warrants, and they didn't need the program. Now, let's tie this into Benghazi, because I think that Benghazi does play a role here. The shutting down of all the embassies. So if you feel like you have a credible threat, I heard some conservatives, like Todd Starnes, for instance. And
no, you you listen to Todd
Besties.
Starnes?
Besties.
No way.
I have a hate
Chris
boner.
Chris Spangle and
I have
Todd
a
Starnes.
Raging hate boner for Todd Starnes. Okay?
it's kind of irrational. It's so powerful.
It's not like Canada.
What is the product of a hate boner? I must know.
It's just rage, fury, and...
darkness and gloom.
Yes.
And glitter.
Glitter. There's no glitter because that would be light. So, I listen... I am a very rational, common sense person, but there are some people that I just hate irrationally. My new one is Sydney Leathers. I can't stand
this. And I don't know why.
I just cannot stand this woman with a passion.
You know I love her.
You know what, though? I'll give you one thing.
Yeah, she's gross, but she saved the people of New York from Anthony Weiner.
Yes.
She did a good
thing. Anthony Weiner would have saved the people of New York from Anthony Weiner.
No one needed to see her do a porno. So Todd Starnes is one of the people.
Aren't we all about making your own choices? Did. Don't watch it.
Hey, Anthony Weiner apparently did, and there's more than one of those guys out there.
I can't help it. I have a problem. So...
Hey, that's a rule. Was it rule 34 of the internet?
Creighton comes back in the studio, and the show is totally off.
What isn't that rule 34 of the internet?
Yes.
If it exists, there's porn of it.
Right. And Sydney Leathers is certainly one of them. So I hate Todd Starnes because he will throw out any kind of common sense just to prove some stupid Hannity-like point. And so he's like, "See, I guess we don't have Al Qaeda on the run. We are not standing and fighting up to Al Qaeda."
Who does
so
he
you're
even
telling
work for?
So you're telling Fox News. Oh. Let that sink in. So he says, "Oh, so I'm sitting there thinking, so what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to arm the people in the embassy so they can fight the terrorists that are coming to attack them? Why don't you sit down, Todd Starnes, and explain that to the family members of the people in the embassies?"
No, just send them over there. I'll put him right at the Yemen embassy with an AK-47 and tell him have a good time.
Yeah, Todd Starnes, you go fight. So I think that it was the right call in recalling multiple posts and bringing people back to be safe. Does anybody disagree with that?
No, but it's always been the right thing.
Yeah.
We finally got them to admit it, and now they should stick to it.
That's the point. It's like this has always been what we should have done every day.
Right.
But now it's like all of a sudden people are heroes for doing it because we had this threat that no one knows really exists. And it's like we should have done this like 10 years ago.
Was it an overreaction because of Benghazi? That they pulled out multiple around the world?
Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know.
No. Still, though, better safe than sorry, I would say.
Yeah,
in this situation.
No, I mean, I'm totally okay with them taking people out of all these countries and bringing them home.
The minute that there's a threat to anybody that we've got stationed in a non-military position as an ambassador, I would say it's a good idea.
Unless you're running arms out of the embassy in Libya.
Yeah, then you got to stay.
All right, so let's go on to another conspiracy theory.
All right.
Is it conspiracy theory anymore?
No, Jake Tapper's not a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, it's not. I think they have evidence
on
that, right?
What was reported... Greg Lins, by Jake Tapper, whom I, if you listen to the show report, you will know I have a man crush on. Creighton, when you get back to Washington, D.C.
He has a hate boner for Todd Starnes. All right, mark that down. He has a love boner for Jake Tapper.
Not a love boner. That's reserved for my wife.
A man boner.
I have a
gentleman's boner.
I have a gentleman's
a bro boner.
A bro boner.
He's a bro boner.
I would tell he
a broner.
I was
a
so
broner.
I was so defeated the day that he yelled at me on Twitter. Jake Tapper, but then I was like, he tweeted at me. I was like, yee!
Then Anderson Cooper talked to you, and oh my gosh.
And then he leaned over a railing and spit on me.
Yep.
Just like Justin Bieber.
Did you frame
really?
It?
Yeah. So
why is he, why not really, but like, why would Anderson Cooper be that guy?
Be what guy?
The guy that leans over a railing and spits on
no.
you.
No. Jake, I was
sarcasm.
Talking about
you.
Oh,
it was a joke. Gotcha. No,
hashtag.
I got the sarcasm.
He's so DC now.
I got the sarcasm. I thought he was saying Anderson Cooper
he's
was
so established.
Had done something that was the equivalent of spinning over.
You've lost touch with Americans. Do you not know who Justin Bieber is?
Oh, God, I wish I didn't.
All right, so
cheers,
Greg, fill us in on what my man, my platonic man, Jake Tapper has reported this week on CNN.
He's like JD and Turk.
My platonic boner recipient.
Hey, well, now, don't be dirty.
Well, he has been investigating the Benghazi scandal for quite some time and has found from several sources that there were at least 26 Americans on the ground at the Benghazi or at the embassy.
And who
now,
might
why
they?
Now, why is that important? Because somebody said there was nobody on the ground. Who was that?
Every major news outlet in America and the President of the United States and the military and everyone else.
And who? Right. Somebody who's going to run for president in 2016, didn't she say something?
I think Rand Paul said something, and Hillary Clinton decided to just sweep it under the rug like nothing happened.
Creighton, yeah, right. What difference does it make at this point?
What difference does it make?
All right, so Greg, these 26 people that were on the ground at Benghazi, who might they be paid by?
Well, probably the CIA would be my best bet. And then on top of that, it's not odd at all that they're being subject to lying tests every single week.
Every
single polygraph test every week
to see if they're cooperating with the press.
Yeah.
Whoa.
All the people who
were weekly
on the ground, Jake Tapper is reporting that they are being pressured every single week. They're given a polygraph test to make sure that they are not leaking information to the press. So you've got men in the CIA, who, if you are part of the establishment, there are probably listeners of ours who wouldn't find that to be an honorable profession. But if you are part of the administration, you would find it to be an honorable profession. So why would you want to come down on them so hard? What could they possibly be hiding and trying to keep secret, Greg Lenz?
That they're in violation of every treaty the United States has by dealing weapons to Syrian rebels.
Wow.
And we have evidence of that.
Jake Tapper's working on it.
Oh, he's okay. So as of this point, I can't say that the conspiracy theory is proven.
And my man Jake Tapper will find out evidence.
So at this point, listeners,
until he gets a job as press secretary.
At this point, listeners, I am still waiting on that smoking gun.
So Greg Lenz, if you were listening to what podcast, where would you have heard this 2 months ago?
The Shill Report.
No, we are libertarians.
Did we cover that?
Screw the Shill Report.
Now listen, I've got
Ripley's
something important
a Democrat,
to say about the CIA.
What? Great.
We had Subway at the convention on the last day, and those bastards were down the hall learning something, and they came down and took our Subway. CIA.
Would you know?
That's what you would think, but tell you what, they are the most non-graceful people.
Were they wearing t-shirts?
No, one guy came down, and he's like talking in some foreign language, and he's taking all of our Subway, and we're like, who the hell was that guy? And then like eight people come down after him, and we're like, are you with Young Americans for Liberty? And they're like, no. Turn around. Go back.
He's like the f***iest CIA agent ever. You caught him.
My God.
I know. It's like,
but
it's
true
not
to nonviolent form, you didn't do anything to stop.
It was not Splinter Cell at all.
No. So Creighton's just getting drunker by the moment. He's starting to rant about Subway
That's my first experience with anyone who ever worked for the CIA personally. And
they made a terrible sandwich.
It was a bad first impression.
So you believe, allegedly, that we were running weapons to Syria.
Unequivocally, not allegedly.
Okay, why?
Ooh. I'm still allegedly.
Why? Because I believe that Hillary Clinton, I see this, everything that's happening, I see it from a political perspective.
Okay.
The president.
Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, the president, very nice. The president going on Leno. The president, if anyone watched that, he is trying to make it look like his second term. He's pivoting to jobs. He's making sure that Democrats win in 2014 by delaying Obamacare. He's trying to set it up for the handoff for whoever comes next, most likely Hillary. That's the favorite. And so I see him essentially he should be the sacrificial lamb for Benghazi. And unfortunately, oh my gosh, Creighton just built a Pabst tower.
Please don't do that.
It's empty.
So he's building he should be the one that is
taking
all
the
heat.
He should fall on the sword. Granted, it still hurts Hillary if he does it. But now Biden's set up to crush Hillary with Benghazi, and it's going to come out.
That's
Jake Tapper's going to get to
that's
the bottom of it.
That's what's-his-face did with Iran-Contra.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What was his name? The guy who took the fall.
Ollie North?
Yeah, Ollie North.
Yeah. Ollie North took all the fall, and Reagan goes on live television and says, I don't think what I said was a lie, but apparently it was.
Right. But you're never
going to got all the blame.
You're never going to see that come out of Barack Obama's mouth, though.
No, he went on Jay Leno and said, "We do not have a domestic spying program."
What?
We said that word.
No, he did. I
swear to God, word for word, he said, "We do not have a domestic spying program. What we have are mechanisms in place to track communications in the United States."
That's not spying. We're just tracking your communication.
It's just
that
archiving
is the most
everything.
Politician answer to anything. Right.
They were talking about.
No, time out. Who is the person that's sitting there watching Leno like that's like. Okay.
Well, does reasonable.
Creighton, you're going to have to settle down a little bit. Let Greg finish.
President Obama does reasonable flawlessly. He does reasonable as well as anyone I've ever seen do it. But unfortunately, I think he's an ideologue. I think he couldn't handle compromise on any issue he wanted to do. And I disagree with all you guys. I think he's going to be seen as the victimhood president. He is going to be a victim to the crazy right-wing Republicans, just like how Clinton was. It was so sad Clinton never got a rise to the occasion and become a great president.
Henry Hyde is such a dick.
But now he's considered a great president.
Right. No, but not
now
not
he is.
Historic,
he's considered as like...
Not historically,
FDR, because
it
hasn't been enough time yet.
Oh, no, what did he do?
That's it.
He had a good economy.
How many people? How many presidents that are considered? Yeah. FDR did everything the opposite of what a good president would do because he was just the huge government president.
But no, he did it under the guise of helping the middle class.
I know,
and
but
poor
the difference is
Clinton is already the golden days of the Democratic Party in the post-Reagan world. I mean, he is like everything that the Democratic Party wants to be, and he sucked. But they forget all that because times were just better. They
Clinton
just
reformed better welfare. That is the absolute opposite.
You mean the House reformed welfare?
No,
Clinton you remember compromised. In 92, you remember those videos that I, the Clinton
yes, I remember in 92.
Hold on, let me finish.
When I was 2 years old.
In 1992, Jesus. The ads, the campaign ads that I posted in the group of Clinton running against, running for abolishing welfare or reforming welfare, that was his campaign.
I know, I got that.
The thing is, with Bill Clinton, it's all personality based. People love his personality. They love the fact
that
he's
Obama's
smooth.
Based.
Obama is going to be, his approval ratings will go, my words, will go above 65% when he's out of office for over 3 years. He's young. He's incredibly intelligent. He's well-spoken. And you put him on the Sunday night shows. You have him be guest. He'll probably join the Clinton Initiative. He will be so popular. It'll be like his, oh my gosh, I can't believe what that John Boehner and those
not
dirty
to, not
tea
to be
partiers
fair,
did to him.
He also didn't get anything done. So if he got more...
He got healthcare done.
No, yeah, but he got some stuff done. But if he got more of the things he wanted to get done, I think that his legacy would be the opposite of that because all of his stuff would go into effect and people would hate him for it.
Well, I mean, he could... If he... Right now would be the time to seize on his civil liberty agenda, right? Right now would be the number one time to do it. He could get the House Democrats and the Senate
Fox News to be out there every day.
What's he talking about
instead?
Corporate tax reform. Mm-hmm. Why? They are pivoting to jobs to already start working on 2016 and setting up. We care about the middle class. That is going to be their message. It's going to be jobs because the economy is still not going to be good.
Right.
And then they're just praying that they can hope the Democratic primary doesn't turn into Benghazi, which
is,
Biden will hammer Hillary
on. It is the 19th time that Barack Obama has tried to pivot to jobs. And he keeps trying to get back to jobs. But the problem is nothing he's doing is creating jobs.
No.
Not a thing.
Well, and then he says on Leno, he goes, well, you know, it used to be politicians love to cut ribbons and we'd fund infrastructure. We don't need a huge government. We just need a government that provides essential services. I was like, this isn't a huge government.
Right.
This is the biggest government in the history of the world.
I mean, you know, they can only listen to everything you ever say on the phone. That's not big.
Right. Yeah. Any data that you transmit electronically.
Oh, you have to buy health insurance or you go to jail. That's not big.
No.
That's not big at all. It takes one guy coming to your door with handcuffs.
And didn't we
That's
have
one
like
guy.
The first military takeover of a large city?
Yes, Posse Comitatus violated.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think he has the worst political advisors I have ever seen.
Right.
I Axelrod, David Plouffe, that you got in a little fight with. And you saw it firsthand. He's incompetent. No, you called him out, and you were right. And he,
No, I'll tell you exactly what's wrong with Barack Obama and his advisors. He doesn't have any.
Yep.
And the Valerie Jarrett might be the closest thing that he has. Michelle, maybe. And he has no other advisors. He's not like Hillary, where if you remember when Hillary's emails got hacked, she was talking back and forth about Benghazi, I think, with James Carville. You know, there's some who speculate that the war on women stuff was started by George Stephanopoulos, and she was instrumental in creating that narrative. You know, so she still talks to the people that they worked with in 92.
Extremely, exceptionally well-connected.
Right.
I mean, she was the first lady not a decade or two ago. You know, she's got this shit down.
But he's president, and he doesn't have, who are his advisors that stand out?
No one.
Axelrod is on MSNBC, and doesn't really seem to have communication with the White House.
And he couldn't be any more unlikable.
Uh-huh. Right. Robert Gibbs is on MSNBC, and he doesn't seem to have any kind of contact with him. Barack Obama thinks that he said it, Valerie Jarrett said it at one time, he thinks that he's the best speechwriter. He thinks that he is the best. He thinks that he can do every single person's job in the administration better than they can.
He's so good, he can't remember the speeches.
Right.
That's why he needs
but
a teleprompter.
It would be so easy right now to seize on this narrative and say, listen, the NSA serves an important role. non-Americans are not protected by the Bill of Rights. So what we're going to do is put law into place, or we're just going to follow the law we already have. We're not going to spy on Americans. We're going to spy on the terrorists. And every American would stand up and go, that's exactly right.
He could totally come off as the hero in all this.
Nope.
Right.
Instead, just take away the domestic spying element.
He could totally take this entire situation, which he has advanced and magnified during his term, turn it around and be the hero. He could come out as the guy who stopped the NSA program.
He could
even instead he goes out there and says that Edward Snowden is a freaking traitor.
Do you know what would happen?
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
But do you know what would happen if Barack Obama came out and gave a live address from the Oval Office and said, "Listen,
nobody would watch."
I know, but listen. Look.
As I look out on those clouds,
there's some bad things going on here.
So he comes out and he says, "Look, I campaigned. You all know what I campaigned on. Here's what I said. This is what I truly believe. It's time. You know, we have to keep the American people safe. But here's information. Who is the person in the government that can declassify information? Barack Obama. He is the president of the United States. He can come out and he can say, this is what I believe. Here's what we're going to do is to start reforming this. Instead of just digging in your heels and thinking that you're right and stubbornly right, do what Clinton would do, which is this needs reformed.
And he doesn't even have to actually do it. As far as his image, all
just
he has to go out there and say it.
Yeah.
All he has to go out there and say this needs to change and then do the opposite. And we've been shown on the part of the left base that if he just says something and does the opposite, they'll look at what he says, not what he does.
He's the victim. He's the victim president.
Right, because if you know, even George Bush, you know, with things like the surge, I know that was seen as doubling down on Iraq, but that was really we need to fix this. You know, let's double down and fix this. He would try and make changes. Clinton would walk out there, give a Oval Office address, and say it's time for reform. You know, we're 10 years out. Al Qaeda's on the run. And it's time to start scaling back our operations because they're so defunct.
You know, the sad thing is I think
and we're doing the opposite. We're coming out and saying, look, we're still scared of them. We're still scared of them. They're still bad. It's still the terror is you know, that's
them terrorists gonna get
you. They're gonna get you. You need to be afraid.
It's a huge business, the terror business.
Now, but the sad thing is I think his hopes for his candidacy was to be like a reform president.
Right.
I think that was his goal. I think he came in, and I think he wanted to reform immigration, he wanted to reform healthcare, he wanted to reform the financial system, he wanted to reform everything. And now, all he can be seen as is the guy who passed Obamacare. I don't even know if they say it's healthcare reform anymore. They just say it's Obamacare. And that's it. I mean, if immigration doesn't work, I mean, he's screwed.
And he got bin Laden.
He did get bin Laden, but... I mean,
did he really?
No. I think bin Laden's dead at the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah,
but
it was weird the whole circumstances behind the body.
Freaking Osama bin Laden.
I don't
Laden.
Think
there's
Osama,
nothing normal going to happen about him dying.
I think Osama
right,
bin
once
Laden.
You've got his, it's like Hitler. Yeah. Once you've got his body, don't you make damn good and sure that it gets to a point where it can be.
See, that was our military.
Down.
Though,
no, but,
and I trust them.
No,
I don't trust.
But
the
that's
politicians.
Just it. I mean, that's they could easily. You could easily just say, well, if they showed Osama bin Laden's body on national television, that's more reason for the terrorists to hate us.
I think they brought him back. I don't think they put him at the bottom of the ocean. I think he's.
In
I think he's
Guantanamo?
Definitely dead. I think he's somewhere. Deep within the bowels of the United States
he's
government.
He's in the next
Dan Brown novel.
He's in the Oval Office. He's on display.
Yeah.
Got you, mofo.
Okay, so I don't, you know.
I don't think there's any reason to trust this government. I'll just put it that
right.
way.
Here's the problem
with... I don't think there's any reason to trust any government. It's not just this
very
government.
True.
Here's the problem with our government, and here's the problem with the politics and why we have so little trust. It's all about who should we blame and who should we hate and who should we tear down next and who should we enjoy the misery of their destruction.
Schadenfreude.
They're Schadenfreude. We're a Schadenfreude society. We've ranted against, you know, we know what's broken, we know what doesn't work, and we know who to blame. But what are the solutions? And that's what we never seem to get to. It seems like, you know, conservatives never really, it's all Barack Obama's fault, and this drives me crazy on Facebook. It's always the other guy's fault. It doesn't even have to be political. It's just always the other guy's fault. And it gets to a point where we lose our basic principles. There are Democrats who are standing up for Bob Filner. The guy is a rapist. He may not have committed the act of rape, but he has the exact same mentality as a rapist. I mean, and just because he's a Democrat, it doesn't mean that you should defend him by saying, well, there are Republicans that do this too. So what? The guy should be treated like a pariah and run out of office.
I think what gets me that as far as, because I mean, I just disagree with, you know, for the longest time, I just disagreed with Obama on his policy, like whether or not, like what he said he was going to do. I just disagree with it from a political, from a philosophical perspective. And that's fine. You can disagree with people in a philosophical perspective and not hate the guy.
Right.
But what I think comes, what really gets under my skin is you have these things like the NSA. You have these very broad civil liberty abuses. Mm-hmm. And the answer to that on the part of Obama, as far as what comes out of his mouth, is let's talk about jobs, you know? Let's talk, like, no.
Let's sweep it under the rug.
Yeah, no, it's like, no.
Deflection.
These things are f***ing important. Yeah. Right. You need to address
this. Write that down.
Right.
Yeah, you need to address this problem. These are things that you can't just sweep under the rug. Are you so opposed to the Fourth Amendment rights of American citizens, or aren't you?
Right.
You know, this is not one of those, oh, we need to, this is a gray area. This is a black and white issue. You right. don't just say, we need to talk about jobs. We need to get America back to work. No, f*** that. We need to, you right. need to answer the question.
Well.
Right. Sorry.
Right now.
But that's just what's pissed me off.
I can't wait till we talk about something you care about.
It's what's pissed me off. So, I mean, so, it's like, it's... No, I mean, I understand that there aren't a lot of things in politics that are black and white. I understand that there are areas of political discourse where you have to have, like, you can compromise and it's not a bad thing. I understand all that. But this is not one of them.
Nope.
You know, this is you.
Foundational principle.
You do not break the Fourth Amendment.
Right.
Don't do it.
Any of those amendments. You keep all of those amendments intact right. if you're yep. able.
Exactly. I mean, and that's the point that we have to get to. We have to stop sitting there and trying to blame other people, stop trying to, you know, find the problem and blame the other person. We have to say, here's the solutions and here's what we believe as Americans. And we say this every week because we're just at a point where we're losing our principles, we're losing our values so quickly that we have to talk about them, we have to define them. And we have to stick to it. And I know we sound like a broken record, but we have to continually define who we are and what we are.
Not even a stop. He just went right back to where he was
That's
at.
That's right. My wife just walked in and interrupted us, so
I... Put it on pause. Right? I got it. All right, done.
I know exactly where I was. I'm a professional. You know, there are just certain things that we as Americans all agree on, and it's time for us to start having that conversation, which is such a douchey term, that we're having a national conversation about stuff. But... We need to stop hating people because they're a Republican or a Democrat or a Libertarian or not engaged. I mean, people who are engaged in politics treat people who are not engaged in politics like absolute crap. And maybe they'd get involved in politics if they didn't show up uninformed and then get told, you're an idiot, you're a moron, how can you not care?
You know, that's true. But I will say, I think that the civil liberties issue, I think this is one that... is doing what you're talking about.
Right.
I think in general, comparatively to all the other issues that have come up, this is one where I think, you know, the little old lady who never went to a polling booth a day in her life, or, you know, the thug kid who, you know, dropped out of high school and whatever, every demographic, I think is represented in this issue. I think they all have an opinion on it and they all think right. about it. I think it's really bridged a lot of gaps, I think, and I think it's done a lot of what you're saying. Now, there are, of course, the apologists. I think the people who got the neoconservatives and the Obama apologists, I think those exist.
We just need to treat each other better.
We need to know. That's what I think the problem is.
We need to know. We need to treat
each
other better.
Not a conversation. We need re-education. We need to know what
we need
stand
re-education
for.
Camps.
That's yes. right.
Wow.
It comes right before Hope and Change Camp.
Right.
I do not agree with either of those statements.
Welcome to We Are Libertarians Camp, where you will be fed bread.
You will be fed the best food ever.
Yes.
But my opinion.
That's the problem, is people don't really know what the amendments say.
Right.
And so there's no way to say, what are our principles? We're a democracy. People say we're a democracy more than they say we're a republic,
right.
a constitutional republic. Rand Paul went on TV the other day and said, we don't need to talk about democracy. Yeah. We need to talk about constitutional republics.
Have you ever been on Facebook and said that we're a democracy?
No.
What happens when you're on Facebook and you say this is a democracy, Creighton? Right.
Rabble, rabble, rabble. This is a Republic.
No, no, but seriously, I think I will say I am one of those people that says rabble. Mm-hmm. That's one of my nerd peeves is mm-hmm. that, you know, I hate that we worship the god of democracy so much.
Right.
I don't know. That's just one of my nerd peeves. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are not a democracy.
Greg, what do we do? You're the one that has all the answers.
I don't think a lot needs to be done other than restoration. We go back to our foundational principles, and we're right where we want to be. The government can't spy on us. We can still spy on terrorists, so you can have that compromise, even if the terrorists are real, which I don't know anymore.
Right.
In other words, the Constitution might have been a good idea.
Yeah.
Right.
It really, the Bill of Rights. You know, I don't like it. You know, I wish I could rewrite it. You know,
but if we don't defend it, what good is it?
No, we need it.
It's just a piece of paper.
Right.
Yeah. No, I agree.
It's not even paper. It's hemp.
I don't know if that one's hemp. I know the draft of the Declaration of Independence was written on hemp.
You know what we really need? Or we need a system of repercussions. Like with Obamacare, it's coming out, and there's going to be everybody's health care information is going to be easily accessible. And I can guarantee you that's going to get hacked or leaked, or there's going to be an exposed amount of people's personal data. If I were a congressman, I'd say, okay, we understand. We make mistakes. We're human. All systems are flawed. It's a $10 million fine every time it happens. Check payable to the American citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you're spied on and you are not, you know, you have no, there's no reason for you to be, that's a $3 million fine. The federal government has to pay it out.
Yeah, but does the federal government pay it or does the individual who is responsible pay it? Because if it's just the federal government, it's like taxing ourselves.
The federal government pays it and you have a balanced budget amendment and then they will stop passing stupid laws that cost them money. You have to make it hurt in the pocketbook.
Stop passing stupid laws because they're stupid people.
You will
laws.
If there's repercussions, because if you make it where there's a balanced budget and they cannot raise taxes. Like
no, the repercussion has to be that the people of America don't vote for people that do these things.
I've always thought that there should be some sort of accountability for people that make exceptionally stupid decisions in office.
I think there should be, but honestly, if you want to know how do you change the governmental system so that it reflects your values, get involved and vote and change the conversation on the ground. I mean, you know, the average Joe American doesn't care. You know, they just don't. They don't care. They go and they might vote, maybe. You know, if their parents taught them anything, they might vote.
Right, but that's kind of a mockery because, I mean, we sat here and discussed tonight, you know, candidate Obama with his magical bean promises who came out and was going to fix everything and close everything and pull us out of every war, and here we are 15 years later still waiting.
And the problem is the reason that he's gotten away with it is because his base that was supposed to keep him accountable didn't. They didn't keep him accountable, and they're not keeping him
Republicans
accountable.
Are just going to hate him no matter what, so it's up to the
reason,
Democrats
yeah, the
to
reason
police.
He's, the reason he's still doing what he's doing is because the environment around him is not telling him to do otherwise. The environment around him, you know, he doesn't care what Republicans think. Republicans have always hated everything he's done.
Right.
But the Democrats are passing it off as okay. And that's the people he really cares about. And they just, they've been a bunch of principleless whack jobs who don't care. And they're just like, we got our guy in. And that is what, you know, so if you want to know how do you change politicians, it's actually care about politics for more than 5 seconds. And I know I'm going to be that guy that says we should, that the people who don't care about politics are bad people. They're not bad people. I think there's a lot of people who have legitimate reasons, you know, families and stuff. That's kind of important. But the thing is like if you want to know why do politicians act the way they do, it's because you let them act the way they do. They only exist by your good graces. You have every ability within your being to change how they act. All you have to do is stay dedicated, get involved, and affect change.
Joe Ruiz asked this week, he said he was talking to a friend who is running for office, and he said, I threatened him with We're Libertarians. I said, we have you running for state house, we have an Indiana section, and if you do stupid stuff, I'm going to call you out. And I'm going to write about you specifically because I can, and I know you'll read it. And he said, well, that's not cool. We know each other. He said, I don't care. And Joe asked if he was out of line, and I said, absolutely not. Because if you run for office, you are asking to be held to a higher standard. And it is up to us to hold people to a higher standard. We have to hold them accountable. And Barack Obama should be losing his base. He lied or... he didn't follow through on his promises.
He lied or failed, one or the other.
Either way, no politician should get away with it.
You or either... we're under the threat of nuclear war every day by Al-Qaeda.
Right.
Or lizard
That's
people.
That's the only justification for his
Or action. Lizard people control.
Right.
Yeah.
So, okay,
Blink
let's...
Blink your inner eyelids twice if that's the case.
Let's wrap up. So let's wrap up. Final stories that we may have missed throughout the week or anything you'd like to promote. Creighton, C. Harrington. Gina, Bear Martinez.
Yes, Spangle Bear. I don't know what would I want to promote. A few things, but I didn't write them down. I guess the shows, all of the various shows.
How about you go to wal-radio.com and find Storytime with Gina.
You could do that. And I don't know what we're talking about this week, but hopefully we'll be doing it now-ish.
we'll
what do
have
you tell
to
stories
about that?
Because I lamentingly have not listened.
Stick around and tell one.
It is very fun.
Yeah, I'll let you dip and chew in the whole nine.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's a blast.
About what, though?
Spangle sex life,
mostly
yeah. or lack
there
thereof.
Was one
now
episode,
that I'm in trouble,
was one show,
oh, your fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally saw that.
Not
look.
Really.
You're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. All right. So, Greg Lenz.
No, I have nothing.
Okay.
I'm depressed.
Aw.
Why?
It's all over.
Creighton.
I guess all I can say is if you own a PlayStation 3. Go play The Last of Us, because it's the best video game to come out in the past about 15 years. This is the End is one of the funniest movies to come out in the past 5 or 6 years.
So I want to see that.
It
I haven't seen it yet.
Hilarious.
I can't
it,
wait.
I've seen it twice. It's so funny. What else? PBR is the best American beer.
America.
Nah. It's the best American light-tasting beer. I think Sam Adams is pretty good.
Yeah. I don't even drink beer, but yeah.
All right.
What else?
Anything else, Creighton?
Let me think.
You've said a lot this episode.
Bass Pro Shops is the shizzo.
Bass Pro Shops is cool, and that's also a fishy story.
Boo.
I don't know. I can't think of it. If anything else, I'll post it on the Facebook page.
We'd like to thank Young Americans for Liberty for their endorsement and
Always.
Generous donation for this podcast.
Totally, Rick. They totally think Michael Hastings died
you
the hands of Barack Obama.
No, no.
No, just kidding. Let's think of the larger implications of the Americans running guns to the Syrian embassy.
You
can't sign off with that.
Yes, I can.
It's a clear violation of the Logan Act. You will not. You will not. The America is not allowed to arm possible future enemies.
Let's think about it this way, okay? Who executed the attack? It seemed to be people who are fairly well organized, well trained, lots of shiny new weapons. Who would possibly be arming them and executing these raids?
The Soviets.
Who are we opposing? In Syria. Well, Assad is backed by Russia and Iran.
The lizard people.
Right. And we are backing the other side. So what if Russia and Iran were behind the attack on the American embassy and they are the ones who provided the weapons and the strategy and the support to kill our ambassador and three other people?
You really don't like Putin.
I think he's like the next great dictator.
It'd just be payback for when we funded and created our future enemies in Afghanistan in the 80s.
Yeah. So maybe a proxy.
You mean the Mujahideen? They were freedom fighters, man.
Really?
They were freedom fighters.
They were Allah fighters.
All right. So this has been an episode of We Are Libertarians.
We promise not to suck.
An episode. It has been a episode.
It has been the episode of We Are Libertarians this week. So I just don't know if we can do any better, but we're not going to try again this week. So next time, we promise.
Do better next time.
Music for We Are Libertarians is provided by Hoosier musician Brian Keith Wallen. Please check out his website, briankeithwallen.com. The song is Bad Spell.